So in the 14th chapter, Sri Krishna is telling us that the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas, are born of prakriti, and they are the very essence of the entire creation. Everything in this universe is made up of these three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. And of course, human beings are a mixture of all three. And in the last couple of weeks, we had heard that sattva, rajas and tamas can all bind us. Sattva by attachment to knowledge and happiness. Rajas by attachment to passion, action, you know, possessiveness, greed. And tamas by attachment to laziness, inactivity. And then the question arises that if we are a mixture of these three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas, are they equally present in us? Are they present at all times? Is one predominant or two are predominant at one time? Do they work together or do they work separately? Do they compete with each other? Do they fight with each other? So these are the questions that can arise in a student's mind. So like any good teacher, Krishna anticipates the question and answers it in verse number 10. So chapter 14, verse number 10.
Rajastamaschabhibhuya.
Sattvam bhavati bharata.
Sattvam bhavati bharata.
Rajas sattvam tamaschaiva.
Rajas sattvam tamaschaiva.
Tamas sattvam rajastatha.
Tamas sattvam rajastatha.
So raja, rajas and tamah. So rajas and tamas, abhibhuya. Abhibhuya means having overpowered. Having overpowered rajas and tamas, sattvam bhavati bharata. Sattvam arises. So when sattva arises in our body, in our mind, then tamas and rajas are subdued, are overpowered. And then how about when rajas is predominant? Then sattvam tamah chaiva. So also when rajas is predominant, then sattvam and tamah go down. And when tamas is predominant, sattvam, rajas tatha. So rajas and sattva. So what Sri Krishna is telling us that at any given moment, we are under the influence of one of the three gunas. Either sattvam, rajas or tamas. And that would be the predominant guna under which we will be functioning at the moment, and the other two will be less, will be overpowered, will be in the background. And obviously, as we had talked in the last few weeks, the secret of success is to, as much as possible, be in sattva. So that's why it is said constant vigilance is necessary. So say I'm in a very sattvic mood, I'm very peaceful, I have been meditating, and I say, you know what, I have conquered rajas and tamas. I am now a sattvic individual, you know, just for a few minutes of, and the moment you do that, the moment that, you know, the pride arises, you know, I am so much better than everybody else, I am more spiritual, I am more religious, and immediately rajas comes and takes over, you know, where you get arrogance and then you get pride. And then you say, you know, I have already accomplished. You know, my mind is, I don't need to get up in the morning and meditate. Why? I can lie down and meditate. I am now an evolved soul. So all those things arise when one becomes complacent. So they say, yes, if you are in a sattvic mood, be thankful to the guru, be thankful to the Lord. It is very good. You know, sattva is there. That is wonderful. So I'm in a peaceful and a sattvic mood. That's very happy, that's very good, be in that mood and try to maintain that state and do not get fascinated by any of these properties, because that is how the mind gets bound. And then anytime my sattva gets disturbed, say I'm in a peaceful mood and somebody comes and disturbs me, then I get angry. Why did these people have to come and disturb me? Why do they, you know, here I'm trying to meditate, why don't they understand? So that's how one can get disturbed. So if you are in a sattvic mood, that's very good. How about in a rajasic mood? In a rajasic mood, what happens is a person is so much bound with his possessiveness, his activity, his, you know, anger, and then he's just constantly working morning to night, and nothing else matters, you know, does not care for anybody else, does not, and that time all his sattvic qualities of nobility, humility, service, kindness, caring for others, everything goes under. And even tamas goes below. At that time, he does not care about sleep. He can work many hours. Why? Because every extra hour he works, he finds there's more money coming in, more money in the bank. I can, you know, work instead of 8 hours, he will work 10 hours, 12 hours, does not need rest, does not need anything. Why? Because it is working for I, me, and my. And in that process, they sacrifice their life, they sacrifice their health, they sacrifice the well-being of their near and dear ones. There's this beautiful story. I had told it on Thursday, so those who heard it, please forgive me, but it's such a nice one, it's worth repeating. So there was this Chinese businessman who was extremely successful. He had become so hundreds of millions of dollars he was worth. And in that town, he was the most famous person because he had so much money and he had everything he owned, half the, you know, buildings and everything. Worked from morning to night, and you know, never spent time with his family, never exercised, never took care of his health. And one day he suffered a heart attack, and by age 55, he was dead. And his wife, who was much younger, was in her 40s, you know, was still active and all. And she always liked their chauffeur, you know, who had been their chauffeur for 15 years. She secretly admired him. So husband died. So she said, ah, this is a good opportunity. So she married the chauffeur. So now the chauffeur now inherits all this property. He gets all this, and he's now a multimillionaire, you know. And so when after the wedding, the TV was covering the wedding because it was a big event in that town. The newspapers and everybody there and the reporters, and they asked him, sir, what do you say now that you have owned all this fortune? So he says, you know, all my last 15 years, I thought I was working for my boss, but now I realize my boss was working for me. He spent his whole life working. So that is what Rajas does, you know, where you forget anything else. And that is what they are saying, that even when you are in Rajas, you have to keep a sattva with it. Do not become so passionate, so involved. Dedicated to the Lord, just remember the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I'm doing your work. So then that same activity becomes a prayer. You could be doing anything. You could be working in the office or in the garden or in your house. Actually, yesterday was kind of an interesting thing happened to me. I was in a good mood. I don't know. So I was walking on the treadmill, and I had put on this on my cell phone on YouTube, one of my favorite bhajans, which talks about God and always be with me. And as I was playing, and that, you know, lasted about 5-7 minutes, I went into that, you know, such a peaceful mood. It was very interesting. And for 30 minutes, I was in that silence. As I was walking on the treadmill, my mind was all just going inward, and I felt so much peace. And I didn't want that treadmill to end. I said, oh, this is, you know, normally, you know, treadmill is a torture. So when 30 minutes ended, I pressed again. And another 30 minutes, I stayed in that, and I could feel that, you know, inner peace and all. So the point is that any activity you are doing, it can become a tedious, it can become a punishment, or it can become a sattvic activity. All you have to do is just remember him and do it as his work. That's what Gurudev says. He says that turn your mind in devotion to the Lord. He will purify it and return it back to you. So anytime you remember the Lord, I'm doing his work with that attitude, then that same activity can become sattvic, can become pure. And it can be done in anything, you know, any activity you're doing. So the point is that as often as possible, try to take the Lord with you. Then you get more humility. You don't get arrogance, you know, that I am the doer, you know, dedicated to him, you know, to the guru or to the Lord. And that activity becomes pure. And what happens when people are doing tamasic activities? They say, when does an activity become tamasic? I don't want to work. I don't like it. Why? Because I don't like that work. The moment that work, you say, I like it and I don't like it, then it becomes tamasic. I don't like this work, so I won't do it. You know, call somebody else, even though I'm supposed to do it. Let someone else do it. If I like to do it, I keep on working, whether it's good for me or good for others. So when likes and dislikes come, then that activity, when I like those things, I spend hours, that becomes rajasic. And I dislike it, I either don't do it or I do a lousy job. You know, I'm supposed to clean it. I don't enjoy it. Just leave it, you know, chalega. So that's what Sri Krishna says in the second chapter. He says, sukhe dukhe same kritva labha labhav jaya jayo tato yuddhaya yudhyasya naivam papam avapsyasi. He says that when does your activity become sinful? Sinful means when does it become tamasic? When does it become wrong? When it is sukha dukha. Oh, this thing is giving me joy and that is giving me sorrow. No, I'm supposed to do my duty without the question of likes and dislikes, joy and sorrow. What I am supposed to do, I do it as my duty. Then every activity becomes labha labha. He says, oh, this activity, I get a, you know, I get a benefit. So let me keep doing that. Other one, I'm not getting any benefit. I'm just doing it for the community. Why should I waste my time? Let me, if I have extra time, let me spend where I can get money. Or jaya jaya, or one thing I am good at, I keep on doing it. Other one, I'm not so good. You know, instead of trying to learn or trying to improve, I pick the ones that only make me happy, that I enjoy, that I like. And so in that process, I neglect my duties. So he says, yudhaya yudhyasvya, whatever you were supposed to do, whatever job you have been assigned, wherever the Lord has placed you, whatever station of life you are in, work to the best of your ability, do the best job dedicated to the Lord. Then when the result comes, you say, that is yours, not mine. Naivam papam avapsyasi. Then no activity will become sinful. Then every activity becomes a prayer. Every activity becomes sattvic. So that's what they say, that constantly be very vigilant. And do not just do what you like. Not only from moment to moment, but we find that it could happen even during the week. Say Monday I decided, you know, Sunday I read the Gita, so from Monday I'm going to become more, you know, sattvic. So I get up in the morning, I do my meditation, I read the Bhagavad Gita, I come home again, I read. So my mind is in very, very peaceful state. I say, you know what, that is the way to live. It is so wonderful. So Tuesday I go to work and my mind is still peaceful, you know, because Tuesday morning I have the thoughts of the Bhagavad Gita are in my mind. My meditation is good. I've eaten a very sattvic, you know, pure breakfast, very healthy. And so I go to work, and then as the work starts piling up and I get busier, I say, you know what, I cannot let my mind get stressed out. So I start chanting the mantra and I observe my breath and my work goes going well. And then in the afternoon, I feel a little sleepy. Why? Because I've had a heavy lunch. But I say, no, 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 I have to be in, and I cannot let tamas take over me. So I go for a walk and I do my work. And so my day has gone pretty good. And it's good, you know, that's good. By Wednesday, the work is piling up. You know, all my work is coming. And by middle of the week, you know, everybody is calling and phone calls and emails. And I forget all of this, you know, sattvic thing. And whole day, I'm so busy in my work, don't even have time to think. And then Thursday gets even busier. And then Friday, I'm overwhelmed with work. So I was supposed to take my wife to dinner. I say, honey, I can't go to dinner. You know, I'm so busy with my work. So I've given up my duty doing what I was supposed to do for somebody else. Why? Because I'm so much under the influence of rajas. And Friday evening, I come and I crash. You know, I come home around 9, 10 o'clock at night. I'm exhausted. I eat something and I fall asleep. And then Saturday morning, what happens? Get up around 10, 11, you know, under the total influence of tamas. I try to meditate and I fall asleep, and then I say, you know, I need to eat a good brunch, so I eat a heavy brunch, and then I sit out in the sun, you know, in my yard, and tamas overpowers me, and I sleep. The whole Saturday I spent sleeping. Now Sunday I wake up, I have done nothing on Saturday, so overindulgence of tamas, what happens? Sunday I'm even worse. You know, my throat is scratchy. You know, I don't feel, I don't think I can go to church, you know, because I don't want to give my bug to everybody else. So he tells his wife, honey, can you call the church and tell them I know I had volunteered to help this afternoon, but I don't feel good. I don't want to give my bug to. So that's how, you know, it happens, that slowly, even with the best of intentions, but when the influence of rajas comes, or when tamas comes, then what happens is that we forget. So constantly I have to be alert, I have to be vigilant, and keep my mind as much as possible in sattva. That's why they say even sleep can become sattvic. So Shankaracharya ji says, nidra samadhi sthitihi, may even my sleep be samadhi. So even in my sleep, O Lord, may I not forget you, may I remember you. And that can only happen, as they say, whatever thoughts you have thought throughout the day, those are the ones that will play in your mind at night. Those are the kind of dreams, you know, like somebody you have associated with all day and thought so much about, then those are the kind of dreams I get, those are the kind of thoughts I get. So that is what Krishna is saying, that sattva will predominate, and then rajas and tamas will be low. When rajas is powerful, then sattva and tamas goes down, and when tamas overpowers rajas and sattva, it does not mean that I can constantly be, you know, like I have worked all day, and even but my mind is now tired at 9, 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock. So then you slowly unwind, you know, you let, you know, slowly your mind relax. You can read something good, or listen to some good music, or you know, or listen to some good lectures, and then slowly let your mind relax. And then, of course, you need to sleep. You know, we need to have that tamasic time where the body needs to rest, needs to rejuvenate. This weekend, we have heard some very good speakers, and one of the points they said that certain good amount of sleep is very essential. You know, 6 hours, 7 hours, whatever you need is necessary, because that's when your mind rejuvenates, that's when your body rejuvenates, that's when everything So that period, rest period, is required. It is not, but you know, if you're a, you know, Mahatma like Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda, he could get by with 3 hours of sleep. And he could work 20 and 21 hours a day. Mm-hmm. But see, these people, they are in such evolved state. So when these Mahatmas, when they are working, their mind is always centered on the Lord. And not only that, but when these people meditate, you know, when they are in that deep meditation, even for 20 minutes or half an hour, it's like 2 to 3 hours of sleep when your mind is completely silent in meditation. Sure. So when your mind is completely silent in that deep meditation, then even half an hour or 1 hour of meditation is equal to 2 to 3 hours of sleep. So that is what the essence of this verse is, of verse number 10. Does anybody have any comments or any questions?
One of the comments they made is that, you know, the Priyanka.
Yes.
That, she only has, not just her, but others, that they only need 2.5 hours of sleep. So.
Well, I think if you are not able to function adequately during the day, then you are not getting enough sleep. If you are not able to. But what, I mean, you could do, suppose you wake up at 2 and you have trouble going back to sleep, and you know you still have 4 hours to before you're going to wake up at 6 or 7, then you could spend a few minutes at that time in meditation. Do your meditation, chant your mantra, watch your breath and relax your body. And so in that silence, when after you have meditated for 20 minutes or half an hour, then hopefully your mind will become quiet, and then you can go back to sleep. And then that second sleep, if you get, that's so deep, because you have quietened your mind, that you will feel fresh. So even if, instead of getting agitated, like I also often do wake up at around 3 o'clock, almost every day I sleep around 11, wake up at 3. And then I do that, I meditate for about an hour, and then sometimes I may fall back to sleep and sometimes I don't. But if you have got 4 hours of sleep and then 1 hour of meditation, I find that for me, most of the time it's okay. Or sometimes I do go back to sleep after around 5 o'clock. And then that extra hour of sleep is very deep and it's very wonderful because it kind of rejuvenates you. So you could try that, you know, maybe instead of getting tossing and turning or getting restless, do some of your chanting and breathing and meditate for an half an hour to an hour, and then your mind will become quiet and then you will fall back to sleep. You can try that. But I think Priyanka, because she's, you know, she has been meditating for many years and she has read a lot and she has studied. So I think what she says is that that half or 1 hour of meditation is for her enough, that the 2.5 or 3 hours of sleep is enough for her. And I think it depends where your mind is. Even throughout the day, if you're working and if your mind is in a sattvic state of mind, then you don't get tired. If your mind is, you know, connected with the higher or connected with the inner self. See, again, the higher God is not anybody outside, but is the power within, the Lord within. And if every activity you are connected with that power, then you get more energy from within. And then you don't feel tired. So that is the secret of all these people who can work for hours without getting tired, if they are connected with the higher. I don't know if that answers your question. Any other comments? Anything else?
It is so easy to have, you know, rajasic and tamasic qualities in a human being, and yet to achieve sattvic qualities is a challenge. Idea, or how did they do it?
I think over the next few weeks we will be talking about it, but I think by constant vigilance, by constantly remembering the Lord as much as possible, and the Lord who is within me as the life or the consciousness. So constantly remembering that and then dedicating it, and also making some effort every day to systematically sit down and do some, you know, some amount of meditation. Okay, this is my assigned time. Not during work you can, but I have to give exclusive time to myself, to my spiritual growth. We spend a lot of time in our physical, you know, going to the gym and all, and we spend time at work, but some amount of time exclusively for prayer, for meditation, and then in the evening some time for reading, you know, where I read good books, so that what that does is reminds you of that. And also keeping a little pointers, like in your car, having a picture of your favorite deity, you know, of your Ishta Devta, so that when every time I sit in the car, I remember that. Wherever you are working, say in the kitchen or in the office or wherever, having a little picture so that you're reminded of that. And I think with slowly a practice, slowly as you practice that and you become aware of it, I think, but with constant vigilance, that is very important, constant vigilance to be sure that my mind does not go into selfishness, does not go into laziness or slothfulness, that I do what I'm supposed to do. And constantly reading of the Bhagavad Gita, because when you read the Karma Yoga, the third and fourth chapters, especially the third chapter, you realize that I am here for a particular purpose, and whatever duty I am assigned, I do it as a service of the Lord without any selfishness, then that activity. So constantly reading the Bhagavad Gita, I find for me, helps me to keep my mind. And then associating with saintly people like Swamiji's and other Acharyas who come. So, and also not only associating, but then with watch how they work. How Swamiji works, how they function in their life, you know, spend time with them, talk to them, go for a walk with them. If you have an opportunity, pick them up, you know, bring them. So by spending time with these Mahatmas, you can, so this is a practical way, I think, to keep your mind as much as possible in a pure state. I think you had a question.
It seems a little counterintuitive, but it seems like you almost need a little rajasic to go into being sattvic. I mean, to have the drive to study and learn and be vigilant.
Yes, no, it's very true. That's what they say, nahi ayam atmana balahinena labhyah. A weakling cannot get the self. To get the atma, to know the truth, you have to have that drive. You have to have that. And so that's why the three goddesses, Saraswati, Lakshmi, and Durga, represent the three things I need for my spiritual growth. That's why we celebrate Navratri, where we honor the three goddesses. So Mother Saraswati represents knowledge. Mother Lakshmi represents the wealth of good values, not wealth of material wealth of dollars, but that I should have good qualities in me. I should have the right knowledge. I should have the right qualities of humility and love and kindness. And then Mother Durga represents power. She represents energy. So I need the energy and I need the power to get up at 5 o'clock and to meditate. You need some willpower. If you are a weakling, you're not going to, you'll say, turn off the alarm and go to sleep. No, so that's an excellent point. You need a rajas to go towards sattva. Yes. So that's what they say. From tamas, you go to rajas. And then from rajas, you evolve to sattva. So constantly remembering that I need all the three mother goddesses, not only one, but Mother Saraswati for the highest knowledge. And then the other two are helpful in obtaining that knowledge. Yes. Thank you. Any other questions? Any comments? I think this is a good subject where each one of us should constantly think that what have I studied and how can I apply in my day-to-day life. So this is something that we can apply constantly. And the more you do it, the easier it will become. The more you remember him, the more you bring that thoughts in your mind, the easier it will become to apply that. So just constant abhyasa and vairagya. Abhyasa means constant practice and vairagya is detachment. Stay in sattva and detach from rajas and tamas. And the more you do that, the easier it will be. So just with practice it will happen. I think we can end here.